Welcome back to the second hour of the KPK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Every Saturday, we're here from 5 to 8 a.m. on KPK, 1530 a.m. and 93.1 FM. Well, Rob Reimer said, hey, he had an opening. Come on down and fish with me Tuesday. And I took a friend, and we went to Knight's Landing, and Rob picked us up. It was dense fog, but we didn't care because his boat's fully covered with a great heater, I might add. And we went out, and Rob's with us now to help me tell the rest of the story. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Was your arm sore the next day?
I needed a break. It was great. It was that's the second time I've been fishing with you, and I learned something. And you were doing things to catch fish that I have never done in my life, and so I always appreciate learning that. But it was pretty interesting because here the late fall run, Rob, is you got a great set of electronics on there. You can see the fish when they go under the boat, and the late fall when you see just one or two fish, you're pretty happy because they're not known as a big numbered run. You know, there's not nearly as many of these as they are in the fall run and everything. And yet we noticed that there was quite a few fish going underneath that day. Huh? Was that unusual?
Yeah, it was kind of unusual. I mean, I have been seeing more fish this year than I have in recent years. You know, I've been seeing, you know, like 1 to 4 fish a day, but we were seeing, you know, 3 or 4 fish at a time going through probably every 5, 10, 15 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
There were a lot of fish moving through. So that was it was a really good day when we were there.
Yeah. You know, and it was interesting because we had, you know, there's 3 of us. We each have our 2 rod stamps, so you have 6 rods out. Now that's covering a pretty good breadth of river there, but it goes to show you, it doesn't matter how many fish are going through, there's still salmon. And you know, we say from the beginning of the salmon, you know, when the water is real warm, like in the 70s, you could put your lure in front of 100 salmon, and if you're lucky, one will grab it. When the water temperature's right, like in the 50s, you know, ideal for salmon, you could put your lure in front of 100 salmon and maybe 10 or 15 will grab it. There's still 85% of them that won't grab it. So you're playing the odds game the whole way.
Yeah, exactly. All you can do is just do little things that will improve your odds where you get more fish out of 100 that'll hit. You know, it's like I've heard some people say, oh, you don't need a wrap. I catch fish without a wrap. Well, yeah, you know, maybe 1 out of 100 will hit it without a wrap. But if you put a wrap on there, maybe 5 out of 100 will hit.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Then your choice of scents, you know, I mean, whatever you want to put in. A lot of people put a little anise on there. Most people put too much anise, I think. But a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Who knows what's going to attract a particular salmon. But let's get to the fishing. It started off with 1 rod going out. And then my friend Joe Meyer jumped out. And you got out there first, took the rod out of the rod holder, handed it to him, and explain what happened.
Yeah, it was, well, first of all, I want to say I just got done telling you I hadn't caught a fish on the gator pattern up there yet this year. And then, of course, that's the first thing they did was hit the gator and make a liar out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe got out there. He got a hold of the rod, you know, for a guy that was kind of a novice. He did a pretty good job. You know, he was fighting him and keeping it nice and tight and not letting the fish go out or come back in too fast, you know, while we got the other rods in. And then he just kind of fought him around the boat for a little while. And then we wound up losing the first one. But, you know, that happens, you know, the hook pulls
sure.
or this or that. I'm not saying he did anything wrong. But, you know, it's just salmon fishing, you know, it's the way
it is. Well, hey, listen, these are big, bright, fresh, and I was amazed how hard that fish fought. And then he comes up to the surface, and that's always a chancy thing when they start shaking their head right on the surface. And so you got all that to deal with. But let's kind of fast forward. Then we had another hit, and he jumped on it. That was a different story that time.
Yeah, we got that fish in the boat. It was also a pretty good fight. You know, he get him up towards the boat pretty quickly, but then a lot of times he'll bring the fish up, and he'll see the boat, or he'll see the net, and then he'll take off again. Sometimes I even stick the net out there on purpose to spook him and make him, you know, run out and come back and run out and come back and just wear himself out. Because you really got to wear these fish down before you can net them, because otherwise you're going to go to try to net them and shoot the net down underneath them right when they turn their head down, and you'll wind up hanging that lure on the ring, you know, on the net and lose them. So you want to make sure you don't try to net them when they're too green. But he kept it up, you know. He was having a little bit of trouble with, you know, the turning the crank and working the drag. So I helped him out a little bit, and then he got in the boat. It was a nice fish.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that was the first one he'd ever caught. So that was, and it was a beauty. It was 17 and a half pounds, bright, just wonderful. And then we had a couple of other takedowns. I think we had five takedowns all together on two different rods. You know, here we have six rods out on two different rods, get all the action. You know how that goes. But all on that same side of the boat. And then I had my chance, and I had fun for a while.
Yeah, well, you had fun for quite a while, actually.
Yeah.
You know, that fish was, it was a big fish. I mean, that fish was every bit of 30 pounds plus.
Yeah,
and you did a good job of fighting him and you know, bringing him up the boat, let him run, but he just wouldn't wear out. You know, I mean, he just had a little bit of fight in him. Every time we get him up just about close enough to net, you know, he'd just turn and go away, and he was so big, you know, you couldn't stop him. You had to let him go, and he did that for one side of the boat and the other side of the boat, and he kept doing it until finally, I think we just raked the leader across his teeth too many times and wound up the last time he darted, turned, and took off. You know, it just broke the line.
Well, he was gonna give up, or I was gonna give up. It was really close. But we got a great look at him. We got a great look at him, and I mean, he's right there. And, you know, they're so big. I mean, it's almost scary they're so big. And then you got this great big broad tail. And even though he was exhausted, a little flip of the tail, and he's going wherever he wants to go. And when he was, But anyway, so I understand you got a little video of that, huh?
Yeah, I got some pretty good video. It actually turned out pretty good. I got it scheduled to go live this morning at 8 o'clock when your show's over. So I invite all your listeners to watch it. They can see you in action.
Oh, God.
And it turned out pretty good. You can see how chrome the fish are. It's a real nice fish that we're getting out of there.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. And you can see the lures that I'm using. The one that was working the best for us was the Rob's Dragon Glow by Brad's.
Yeah,
that one
that's
was
a good one.
It hooked. Yeah, it took four out of five of our takedowns. So, you know, it's doing really well.
Now, on YouTube, you go to YouTube, and we've mentioned before where you subscribe. Well, you know, I'm one of those guys. I don't get into all that. Somebody says subscribe, and I just go away because I know it's going to cost me money. But that's not the intent to subscribe to your videos. It's just so you can be notified when there's a new one. It takes you right to it, and it doesn't cost a dime. Is that right?
That's right. It's absolutely free, and you really help me out a lot by subscribing, because I'm trying to get to the point to where YouTube will start paying me for my videos, and I need 1,000 subscribers. So that really helps. And what you do is you can just tap on the word subscribe, and then a little bell will pop up, and you tap on that bell, and you will be notified every time I put out a new video. And I got a new way. When the video's running, you'll see a little icon down in the right, lower right-hand corner, a little YouTube icon. If you just click on that, you'll automatically subscribe. So it's easy to do.
Okay. And all you have to do is go to YouTube and put in Rustic Rob's Guide Service, right?
Exactly, yeah. And then my channel will come up. and you'll see our video that I just put out. Like I said, it'll go live at 8 o'clock. Sometimes it's, you know, a couple minutes after, but as soon as your show's over, go watch it.
Hey Rob, thank you for the trip. Thank you for this morning. You have another good week out there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye bye. Rob Reimers, to book a trip, 530-632-0051. Can't wait to see that. I know I'll be. I know there's some sort of me making a fool of myself somewhere in that video. So I'll be looking at 8 o'clock as well. After the break, Scott Laseth. Right now, though, let me tell you about Sierra Nevada Tire in Placerville. For years and years, I mean a lot of years, they carry all the major brand tires, you know, the Michelins, the Goodyears, the Toyos, the Cooper tires that I like so well, the AT3 Cooper tires. But one thing I really like about them is how easy it is to get maintenance. When I go in, every time I go in for an oil change, they just automatically rotate my tires. When my tires finally wear out, the tread on them all looks exactly the same. That's when you're getting the maximum miles out of that tire. And I usually get more than their suggested maximum because I'm diligent about service on my tires. You know, as far as tire pressure and alignment and rotating and everything, saves you a lot of money in the long run, okay? And that brings us to another aspect of Sierra Nevada Tire is the mechanics can do anything there. I mean, it's a full shop and they do good work. But go on their website and they'll really explain to you why all these what seem like incidental services, why they're so important, making your car last longer and running good the entire time. It's just a simple explanation. Once you have an understanding of that, you'll want to do it more often because your car is always running like it's brand new. So they make it simple, okay? So they're temporarily have closed their location in Pollock Pines because they're kind of redoing some of the equipment in there, and they're looking for real good tire people if you're interested. They want good, experienced tire people. But in the meantime, on Main Street in Placerville, they're open Monday through Saturday. Any info you want, plus that website that would really be helpful, simply go to SierraNevadaTire.com. Okay, let's talk to Mr. Scott Laseth, who for some reason is in town still. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Scott. How are you? Listen, I don't want to run out of time on this, but we talked the other day about salmon, and you know, I go out and catch a salmon. I don't catch a salmon, but I ended up with some salmon to eat. And not a lot of people are salmon fishing right now, but a lot of people have salmon in the freezer. And it's not like a duck that you can take out a year later and somehow make it good. Fish is a whole different thing. So if we were going to take some salmon out of the freezer, what is the process we should do to keep it from being too fishy?
Well, you know, and we've talked about it on the show for a number of different critters, once it's thawed, any fish, especially salmon, because it has a more pronounced flavor, I give it a good squeeze over the sink and get as much of that salmon juice out of it as I can. Then I'm going to wrap it in 2-ply paper towels and wick more of that salmon juice out. And then I'm going to put it into a brine. And the reason why I want to get it dry first is because that way it will absorb the brine and it won't be competing with all this fish juice geeshing out. Mm-hmm. So you get it dry, it absorbs more. The brine is a very simple, you know, 1/2 gallon of water to 1/2 cup each of some kind of coarse salt, like kosher salt. Mm-hmm. I like to put a 1/2 cup of brown sugar in there too. You know, a couple hours in the brine will make a big difference on that salmon. Pat it dry, cool it off, and then cook it any way you cook it. But if you start with that, it's going to revive some of that old frozen stuff.
Gotcha.
And as we know, as you mentioned, fish does not get better with age in the freezer. And one of my favorite things is when you and after you and I were talking about salmon, I'm going, God, why should I talk about the salmon mac and cheese? Is one of my favorite ways to use freezer salmon, and it
really
you can smoke it first too. If you wanted to do smoked salmon mac and cheese or just regular old salmon mac and cheese. Start with a couple of cups of macaroni, noodles, salted water, drain them, the whole thing. Heat up a half cup of milk in one saucepan. And another one, you've got butter and flour that you're whisking together. That's going to be the thickener. And while you're whisking, you want to add that hot milk into that butter and flour mixture. Cook it for a couple minutes to get the flour flavor out. Throw in a big wad of cheese. I like to use Gruyere, Parmesan, mozzarella, a little salt and pepper. This might be a good time to put a little bacon in if you wanted to do that. Stir in your either smoked or cooked salmon, and then put the whole thing into a baking dish. I like to top it with some breadcrumbs, fresh basil, bake it. You've got this crusty, cheesy salmon dish that's one of my all-time favorites.
That sounds pretty doggone good, I'll tell you. I mean, I was going to say, we can put fish with a good, strong flavor like salmon. You know, we can put the cooked salmon in a salad to really add a wonderful essence to that salad. But I've never thought of doing it in mac and cheese, but that sounds pretty good. It's a good match, I think.
Yeah,
huh?
That's on the Sporting Chef website. I think there might even be a photo. You'll want to eat it, and then you'll just hate yourself for eating so much of it.
Yeah, right. So where's your next escapade?
You know, I'm in South Carolina next week with the South Carolina Waterfowl Association. I do an annual there. I like to support those guys.
Uh-huh.
My son Jake's been to camp there a couple times. But after that, my plan is to stay home and duck hunt just like the old days. And if you're watching, you know, one of the things I was thinking about this week also is your listeners get to hear about my dead meat shows before they, you know, months before they're on TV. But this week is the Roswell, New Mexico dove hunt we have talked about on Sportsman Channel.
That's on this weekend?
That's on this weekend, yes, on the Dead Meat Show.
Okay. And what's going on with the Sporting Chef program itself?
Sporting Chef, first half of the year is going to be on Sportsman Channel. Then the second half is Outdoor Channel. And I think we mentioned that I have a new host for Sporting Chef.
Yeah. We mentioned that you were evolving out of most of your hosting duties and getting into the production end of things.
Yeah, you know, I'm too old to be on camera. Well, I'll do the Ted Meat Show, and you know, it's a young audience, so I'll get out of the way. But I'm gonna always do the Dead Meat Show.
Okay, that's good news. All right, Scott, thank you so much. Yeah, have a good week.
Yeah, man.
Bye. Hey, that's a pretty good recipe. That's really a good recipe for that salmon mac and cheese. Here's the website. It's sportingchef.com. And just go salmon mac and cheese. You'll find it. Hey, after the break, we'll see if Mark Wilson found any stripers. Stay with us. Welcome back. Well, you know, I had friends that go out this week, and they all caught stripers down the Delta somewhere, whether it be Liberty Island or down by the Pyro Lounge at Decker Island or over in the San Joaquin. But I'm not hearing anybody catching any big fish. I mean, in my friends anyway, nobody caught anything over about 4 pounds. And I think that was stretching it a little bit. So Mark Wilson, he'll probably be able to explain this better than I, the absence of big fish, but he's with us now. He also got out. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Bob.
So,
I got out one time.
Yeah, and what happened?
Well, we decided let's go trolling instead of bait fishing, because the guys did pretty good last week on a trolling the week before on a trolling pad. So anyway, we decided, well, we got bottom of the tide. That's been easily a key, at least on around the West Bank area. So we went down there, and we got five fish on that turn of the tide. The only problem is four of them were shakers, and one of them was about 18 and a quarter inches.
That's what I was hearing, too.
Then the bite turned off. So we decided, well, we haven't been upriver, up towards that Liberty Island area, Shag Slough and back up in there. So we decided to run up there and take a look around, and we're making a little circle around and hooked up another one about 21 inches, and that was our day. And we didn't mark much up there, not much happening. We didn't get any other hits, and we worked around up there for most of the day and then come back down for the top of the tide at West Bank, and we trolled down to light standard 11, never had a hit, didn't mark hardly anything. Called it a day and ran to the barn, five fish total.
Wow.
But, that's, you know, not, I saw drag boats out there working around too, and I haven't seen them pulling in anything. They pull the nets right beside it, and they're empty.
Well, isn't that
what
something?
They're doing out there. Maybe they're pulling for grass or something like that.
Maybe they're still trying to find their first Delta smelt of the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, my feeling is there's not many fish around.
Yeah.
I think we're losing our population of stripers. And
well, but you know, Mark, hold on. First of all, I got a report. The Napa River is loaded with fish of all sizes, and I just think the water dynamics this year with that heavy October rain. You know, whenever it rains in late November, early December, and all that mud comes down the system, it pushes those stripers back from the Liberty Island area and even in the San Joaquin to down lower in the system. And then they escape, like, over into McCallamy and Sycamore and Hog and Beaver Sloughs and things like that. And I think that early rain had a difference. And then after that rain, there was generally no water coming down the system to attract them back up here. So, I don't know if that's the answer, but it's been such a different year with no water, that big rain, then no water. I think we'll just have to wait and see before we write them off.
Well, there's always going to be schools of fish that we're going to be able to find coming up in the spring run. Fish are going to come biologically. We're going to be able to target some of them. But overall, I think the fishery's down.
Probably.
Size-wise and number size.
Yeah. Well,
my opinion.
Well,
we used to go down this time of year and anchor a boat, and you could catch 8 or 10 stripers from anywhere from 4 to 12 pounds.
Yeah.
A couple small ones thrown in there. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, first of all, stripers are not managed like everybody wants them to be, because the water interests are politicizing them out of existence, and the Department of Fish and Wildlife is too weak to do anything about it, and the governor doesn't care. So, you know, we're behind the eight ball here. We just don't have any options. It's just California just doesn't care about things like this, and the fishermen that have been living their life for it are the victims here, as well as the stripers themselves. But, you know, hey, maybe next week is a whole different story. We never know.
Sure. Sure. And it's a competition to me. I know the fishery's down over my years of fishing it, stuff like that, but that's not stopping me from going. I'm still going to go down there and look around. I love striper fishing.
Sure, you
and,
do.
And there's other aspects of you can bait fish, you can troll, you can plug, you can spoon, you can drift live minnows. There's all kinds of things you can do for stripers.
Yeah,
and
wonderful
I'm sure
fish.
Some guys somewhere are catching them and they're not talking about them. But anyway, I'll be out there again chasing as long as the weather's good. You know, we're down about 55, 56 degree water. The water's pretty clear again. That's still trollable.
Sure.
Next time out, I'll probably go down the system again a little further.
That's what I'd do.
Probably put the miles in.
Yeah, well, you know, the first place you're going to congregate in numbers is in that broad slough area. So, and I know you know that like the back of your hand, so that'd be a good indicator.
Yep.
So, okay, Mark, thank you. Good luck this week.
Hopefully I have a little better talk next week.
You got it, Mark. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Mark Wilson. There's an understatement. I love striper fishing. Mark Wilson. He'd be out there every day if he could. Back to salmon fishing. You know, we talked to Rob Reimers at the beginning of this hour about the salmon fishing. He's fishing at Knight's Landing for the late fall run. Well, on the upper end, the extreme upper end, where these fish are headed, is up between Red Bluff and Redding, and Kurt Portocarrero of Sack River Guide is still fishing for them. And just to compare the two locations, you know, maybe 170 river miles apart, I talked to him last night. Kirk, the late fall run looks like it's a pretty good late fall run. I'd say so far it's better than at least the last 3 or 4 years. What's your take?
You know, honestly, I don't think it was. I don't think it is. Last year I did better. I looked at my numbers. I got more fish last year, and the year before I got more fish. I think the last week has gotten improved, but before that, you know, it's a dry, dry year, and we don't have a lot of water on this river. It's hitting 3,000 cubic feet per second coming out of Keswick, and it's not a lot of water. So,
well, let me offer you some encouragement, because
go ahead.
I noticed early on that the regular fall run in the Sacramento area was late. And people forget, every time we have really low water conditions, like the American was only running at 500 to 600 feet per second, those fish delay coming up that river, and they did this year. And I think the late fall are late as well, because up until 2 days ago, a couple of guides I know that fish to Sacramento, to Knight's Landing area, have been catching quite a few fish, you know, 2, 3, 4 fish a trip, and they had yet to catch a single female. So that's a good sign.
You're right. You know, I got two females this week. I got one yesterday, and I got one 3, 4 days ago. And they are all bucks, and 90% of them are hatchery fish also. I don't know if you've asked those guys that, but they are in a hatchery fish. They're bright. They're beautiful. They fight great. And there is quite a few of them, but getting them to bite is always the biggest thing. You know, yesterday I think we got 6 and it landed 3, hooked 6 and landed 3. And, you know, today we landed a couple. So we're getting fish every day, 2 to 4 fish day average. But you still having to work for them. It's not easy yet.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the difference, though, doesn't it make you feel good to catch these big, beautiful, bright salmon that have never gone through one drop of water over 60 degrees ever, you know, because they don't even enter the rivers until now when it's in the 50s, and they just stay so clean. They're beautiful.
Yeah, I'm fishing about 52 to 54 degrees. That's kind of my fluctuation. 54 by the end of the day, early morning, 52 to 53. Changes 2 degrees temperature by the midday. You know, we're getting beautiful weather up here. You know, every afternoon it's 75 degrees up here. I mean, it's crazy.
That's Kurt Portocarrero of Sack River Guide. But he's still out. He's catching these late falls every single day. And like, just like Russ, sometimes you have six hookups. And you'll land maybe 4 or 5 fish. Other days, you'll have 6 hookups and land 1. So it can go either way. These are big. These fish really fight. I mean, you get a big, powerful salmon like that in that cold water, and you got to do everything right. So anyway, Kurt's number is 800-670-4448. That's 800-670-4448. Thought it was interesting that Rob Reimers thinks this is a better run, and Kurt Carreras doesn't think it's as good a run, but I think the answer is it is late, because now the numbers are picking up at Knight's Landing, and soon they're going to pick up at Reading. So it'll be interesting what both people have to say at the end of the season. After the break, we're going to go over to Lake Berryessa. Right now, I want to tell you about Collins Lake, though. Now, Collins Lake, you know, every fall, they start planting as soon as that water cools enough, and then they plant through Thanksgiving, and then they wait until water conditions improve in early February for the President's holiday before they start planting again. But that has changed. In fact, this coming week, they've got a 2,000-pound plant they're putting in Collins Lake. The lake is already full of fish. They're catching fish all around that lake. The trollers pulling minnow-type plugs like Rapalas and Rebels and stuff are getting a little bit bigger fish. But the shore fishermen, the big fish aren't exclusive to the boats. There just seems to be a few more of them. The shore fishermen, a lot of limits coming in from Collins Lake, from shore fishermen soaking, guess what, power bait. A variety of power bait. And not only just by the dam. Over on the east side of the lake, they're catching them. Down near the campgrounds, they're catching them. So fishing is good right now. It has been good. And then you're going to get another plant this coming week. Both boat ramps are open. They're still renting boats if you want. Camping is available, of course, in winter. And a lot of people with self-contained units can enjoy the hookup at Collins Lake. Best thing to do, enjoy the fishing for a day. You want more of that? More than that, you go to their website. You can make your camping reservations on the website. Find out all about the lake, everything you need to do. Just go to collinslake.com. Welcome back. I talked to Luke Lupanovich over at Sweeney Sports in Napa about stripers in the Napa River and bass and trout in Berryessa. Luke, rather than start with Lake Berryessa like we usually do with you, let's start with the Napa River, because the last time we talked, it had gone from barely okay to very, very good for a variety of size fish. What's the latest?
Yeah, and that's seeming to hold a little bit. You know, a lot of these guys and a lot of our customers coming in are river fishermen, and I am not hearing many bad reports out of any of them, which is great to hear, which, you know, guys catching, you know, little schooly fish on bait, you know, cut bait, but also guys out there trolling, casting in, and even tossing, you know, the fly rod at them, you know, catching fish anywhere from schoolies all the way up to your, you know, your bigger, even 30-plus inch fish. Which is great that, you know, with the weather that we've had, we're still in that kind of transition period, that these fish are still staying and, you know, willing to feed.
You know, I knew that was going to happen. Well, I was hoping it was happening, because usually a lot of those fish are up in like the Rio, up above Rio Vista, you know, up in the Liberty Island area of the Northwest Delta. Or they're over on the San Joaquin, up in some of those sloughs. But that big rain in October put so much mud in the system, I think it backed all those fish down. And you're reaping the rewards right now, I think.
Right. That's the thing is, you know, I think a lot of these fish are just holding because we're not getting any drastic changes in the weather. And, you know, it's been rather warm for the last 2 weeks, which is just holding those fish in our system here, you know, until they really want to make any big moves up into the, you know, farther east estuaries or rivers.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really good that, because you wonder where the big fish are. There's guys down here, and they're bait fishing, and they might catch 10 fish in a day, but 7 of them are under, you know, 15 to 18 inches, and one is between 18 and 20 inches. That's not exactly the kind of fishing we look for with stripers. And
right.
You've got it dialed in the Napa River, so that's good news. Hey, Berryessa, this stable weather pattern, no cold weather snaps to gather up the shad in the big schools. I mean, last year was incredible, the amount of bait in Berryessa. We don't know what's going on yet. Any change toward that winter pattern yet?
You know what? That's the thing. And, you know, we're still waiting. And like I said, with this warm weather, anyway, you know, being in the upper 60s to low 70s, you know, not getting cold enough at night, that's not helping us out at all up at the lake. And it's funny that we're sitting here complaining, you know, that we're getting such nice weather, but, you know, that's not what we really need. It's not what we need for those fish. And
you know. Well, you know, it's just wonderful to go fishing in. But the fish, I mean, every kind of species of fish you can imagine, you know, the big trout, the browns and the rainbows and everything, they're just in slow motion like everything else. So we're just having to wait. But if you were to go out there right now and for the benefit of the weekend fishermen to catch a few bass, maybe have a chance at a couple of 3-pounders, what would you do?
So here's the deal up there, which you can kind of take it however you want to look at it, is – me personally, is I'm finding bait anywhere from, you know, on the surface, out in the middle of the lake, to way up shallow on the bank, but also finding those schools of bait out, you know, 40, 50, 60 feet. Now, what that's doing is obviously that's just going to spread out all the predatory fish, you know, your trout, crappie, and bass. But it, in turn, that'll give you a lot more options to, you know, figure out how you want to target those fish. Now, me personally, I'm catching fish both deep and shallow. You know, depending on, you know, I try to find how active both deep fish and shallow fish are. But if you were wanting to go up there and catch fish, I would really, my best advice would be to run as much water as you can. You know, you can throw a worm or you can throw just assorted shad baits. Personally, I've been using a lot of, you know, underspins, LV500s, jerk baits, and, you know, go through as much water as you can until you find something active. Get bit and fish that area, and oftentimes right now there's going to be a pile of fish in one little spot.
That's Luke Lapanovich over at Sweeney Sports in Napa. His number, 707-255-5544. So here we have, fishing is down for stripers in the Rio Vista area, Liberty Island and all that, and the Napa River's chock full of fish. What do you believe? After the break, we're going to talk Pyramid Lake cutthroat trout.